It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends.
Oh,
Happy little Tuesday here. Welcome to the firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris with you. That's my guy, Danny Meringue, to my left. Rusty over there on the old ones and twos. Rusty, your shirt says, don't worry, be happy. It looks like, don't be happy, worry.
Yeah, that's the joke part of it.
Okay, great, great. Yeah. I meant to mention that to you earlier today, and I'd forgotten.
It's what one of those would call like a poor design feature.
It's wonderful.
But it's a joke.
I love...
don't be happy, worry.
Yeah, I love demotivational quotes. I had a teacher, Mr. Peterson.
Is it like the cat hanging from the pole? It says, instead of hanging there, don't hang in there. Yeah. Let go.
Just give up.
My English teacher, I believe it was fourth period right after lunch, okay. My junior year of high school, Mr. Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
He would always write like an inspirational quote on the whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, since it was after lunch and it was his lunch as well, there was multiple opportunities in which you could potentially be in the classroom before he was.
Gotcha.
One day I wrote one of my favorite Homer J. Simpson quotes on the board, and I wrote, the first step to failure is trying. And old Mr. Peterson was not jazzed about that. He was so mad. He was like, I'm like giggling. Look what I did. And he's like, who wrote that? And I was like, not me, not me. I looked at my buddy and he was like, it was totally you. And I go, shut your mouth right now.
He's pointing at you like Jim Carrey in the cafe at Dumb and Dumber.
This guy's I was like, oh God, no, he's going to kill me.
I had a Mr. Peterson in high school too.
He was a good teacher.
You probably remember Mr.
Nick,
Peterson.
Yeah.
No, Ross.
Oh yeah, no.
Baseball coach.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking Robertson. Basketball.
Oh yes, Peterson. Nick Robertson, yes. Yeah. Mr. Peterson had him for health.
Yep.
And that was
Robertson and Peterson were both still there.
I think
there.
It was, I don't know if it was first period or second period, but look, even to this day still, and back then, not a morning person.
Nope.
Never was.
Trying to think how many teachers I had that were actually morning people.
Yeah, and so I fell asleep a lot in like first period health class, and I sat towards the back end of the wall. And they had the desk set up in there where you had the aisle way down the middle and the desks were facing like sideways. Mm-hmm. And you had to, anyway. But so there was one day where Mr. Peterson got tired of me falling asleep in class and he threw a stapler at like the wall right above my head to wake me up.
Baseball. Good aim.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who taught himself how to fall asleep with his eyes open.
Mm.
That's problematic.
Yeah, it was great. I was so jealous. I could never do that.
And then we also had Mr. Tarasawa. Who I had
great
him,
name.
I had him for pre-calc. Another thing, don't, if you're a junior in high school, don't schedule kids for first period pre-calculus.
Oh, truth, terrible, dude, I had chemistry first period one year. Mr. Schultz, who's one of my all-time favorite teachers.
Yeah.
But I am terrible at science.
And so
flip side, I was done with math my sophomore year.
Yeah, I didn't have to take it my senior year. Yeah. Because the only thing left was AP calc. Yeah. And I was like,
I took that my sophomore year.
It's fascinating to think about, like, I have a bunch of friends that are teachers and like, I know what you do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes me I've seen this on the
like,
internet.
Rethink it.
Rethink all my teachers. Right. I'm like, wait a second.
You guys were a bunch of screw offs.
You're like 35 and hot. You definitely drank 7 margaritas a week.
So at pre-calc, I fell asleep every day. And one day Mr. Tarasawa had had enough and he had 3 of the other individuals in the class pick up my desk while I was sitting in it and take it outside the exterior door because it was in Merle Davies, the Merle Davies building, right?
Yep.
So every room had its own exterior door. Yes, and I woke up outside the classroom.
So that didn't
wake you up. Sleep?
Like you were conked out. You weren't napping. You were conked out.
I was asleep.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was a fun one.
I had a teacher who I got along with really well. He was a baseball teacher. I don't want to call him out because he's an administrator now. But I'm pretty sure he loved me enough that I didn't have to really do anything in his class. And I remember we had to fill out a map of like all these countries in the world. And let's just say, for example, his last name was Meringue. Mm-hmm. All right. So hidden in the map everywhere, I would write Meringue sucks like probably 35 times. And I got my paper back and it just said A, no comment. He would have totally said something. He would have probably laughed about it, circled each one and had fun with it. Didn't say anything. And I was like, this guy does not check my work. This is awesome.
That was our final exam in world geography class. And I think 9th grade at Whitford. Yeah. Just a blank map of the world. Had to fill in every country.
I'm pretty good with maps.
I got 100%. I got 100%.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with maps. I love geography.
How do you think you would do now?
But it also was before the USSR broke up.
Yep.
And
Czechoslovakia
was the whole country.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And also,
so that helped a bit.
Like was, nine sub-Saharan African nations have changed names.
Was Zaire still around
back then? I was going to say, 3rd grade, book report, or a geography report on Zaire. It's still in, like, you know, the box the parents have.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, that one survived. And every time I see it, I'm always like, oh, that's right.
I did have to fight for Vietnam because...
Oh, you're not old enough for that.
Yeah. Well, I almost,
you and Swag both fought in Vietnam?
Yeah, exactly. And the First Great War. On my globe that I used to study at home, because, you know, Vietnam, not a large country, especially if you're looking on a globe. But it was hyphenated on the globe. And so when I did it on my map, I hyphenated it. And he wanted to count me off for that. I was like, well, no, this is how it is on my globe. And I showed him. And he's like, all right, I'll give you credit for
YouTube
that.
YouTube says you won a math competition in high school.
I did win a math competition in high school.
Ooh.
I did.
What was the test here?
The test was, what is it called? It starts with a T?
It wasn't a remembering test.
No, it wasn't. it was, what was it? it's not like calculus. It's not trigonometry. Mm. I can't
malted hops and bong resin.
I can't remember what it was, but I won this math competition because one of my buddies who took it in 2nd period, I took it in 5th period, was accidentally handed the answer sheet by the administrator of the test, and he may have slipped that to me at lunch.
May have.
And I may have used that to answer questions that I had no business answering, and I won $100 off my teacher because I bet him $100 that I would win. And right before he was like, you're not going to win. I was like, yes, I am.
This, again, shows you your teachers just gambling with his students.
Also an administrator now.
Look at this. Also,
bearing the
Mr.
Lead
not
here.
Gamble,
yeah.
Gambling in high school over his cheating on his math test.
It was like a state math test. Like a real competition. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad because I beat this kid who was actually a lot smarter than me. but my teacher was
My
teacher was like, you're not going to do this. And I was like, I'll bet you $100 I do this. And it's the day of, and I was like, oh my God, I'm 17 years old. I don't have $100. I'm so hosed on this. Then my buddy slipped me the answers and I'll never forget. I turned it in. Cause it was also like, if Rust and I got the same answers correct, it was based on time. That was like the tiebreaker.
Gotcha.
And I am like, done, but I can't turn it in too soon. And I'll never forget this. I finally turned it in, and I watched the administrator walk up to my teacher and Mr. D. And he looks at him and he goes, which one is Patrick Harris? And D looks up directly at me wide-eyed, like, what did that son of a bitch do? And he goes, he got 100%. And my math teacher, it was my senior year, and he looked at me and he was like, I don't know how. I don't know how.
You didn't even throw a couple of questions?
He goes, I don't know how, but I know you cheated. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, check all my stuff.
You didn't
cheat.
Even throw a couple just to make it look legit?
No, because I knew other kids were going to get 100%.
Unbelievable.
See, now here's what I want to know too is, so say you lost the bet with said teacher. Do we really think that teacher was going to come hold your feet to the fire to pay off the bet?
I hope so. Where's my money? Where's my money? Just comes out with a lead pipe.
How's that going to look to the district?
More importantly, Rufio points out, and the kid you beat went home and was disowned by their family.
Probably. I felt bad too because there was a cash prize on the line too.
Oh, I was going to say, from the state. Asian kids? No. Yeah, you really screwed them then.
No, but he might. No, but he was definitely from a lower income class than my family.
Oh.
Yeah, I felt really bad.
You should.
Not bad enough to give that money up though, did you?
I think I spent that $100 on a bong and a bag.
God, what on earth?
The old green one, I think we called it Beckham. Yeah, it was Bex. Yeah, we named that bong
Beckham. You just got to keep living, man.
L-I-V-I-N.
Unbelievable.
Shout out, Mr.
Meanwhile,
D.
Some kid is at home getting caned.
Shout out, Mr. D.
You are a jerk.
You know, I wasn't always the best kid in the world. I was a pretty good student. I just am really bad at math and science. So I just, any opportunity to get better at stuff.
I also was a great student. I just wasn't bad at school or good at school stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was on a roll my first 2 years, and then I discovered junior and senior year that I did not actually have to go to class to pass them. I would show up for the tests. I graduated. So going into my junior year, I think I had like a 3.37 or a 3.8 GPA. I can't remember what it was. I graduated with a 2.0.
Oh. See, I graduated with like a 3.4, and I skated. Like, see, I was Tonya Harding in high school.
My senior year, I did not go to class. You mentioned health. My counselors messed up, and I never had health too.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready to graduate. It is a week, maybe 10 days before graduation. My counselor's like, all right, you know, your grades suck. Your SATs are great. You're lazy. Looks like, what's this? You didn't take health too? And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of your deal, dog. And they're like, you can't walk. And I went, bull, I'm going to walk.
the hell I can't.
So I had to call, again, this is before online school. So yes. I had to call this testing company and pay, I think it was $200 to get the textbook. And I had 3 days to take three tests in order to walk. Mm. And I aced all of them and walked. And my counselor, I remember being like, after I handed them in and they, you know, they turned them in, I got the grade. She's like, you disgust me.
I did not get to walk in my high school graduation. I was expelled a week before school ended.
Mm.
Possession of stolen school property on school grounds. Oh. That'll get you. That'll get you.
Why did you keep it?
Because I thought it was funny. Mm. And then I was arrested on campus and expelled from school.
Wow.
I know, dude.
Keep still graduated.
What was it? How is still this graduated? The last story that's coming out?
Well, there was an elementary school under construction near one of my buddy's house. And, you know, it was still under construction. We were like, dude, let's go check it out. And we like, there was a big dirt mound next to the side of it, so you just climbed the mound and got on the roof, and then we got into the school from the roof.
They didn't have that locked, huh?
No, they didn't. And I took a clock off the wall, you know, one of those school clocks.
Yeah, the ones that all sync together.
Yeah, because I thought it'd be super funny, and I took it
they
to school.
Arrested you for that?
Took it to school the next day, and I was like, bet you can't guess where I got this clock, trying to make people think I stole it from the high school. Someone walked in, they were like, you got that from the new Ben Franklin Elementary room 212, because they're all connected, and when one is disconnected, like a little light goes off at district. So they knew exactly where I had it. Breaking and entering, felony, burglary, possession of stolen property on school grounds.
They dropped the charges though?
Oh yeah. I did go to jail.
They just, oh, did you?
Oh yeah, I got arrested.
You got processed?
I went to Clark County. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, dude. And that's why I can't watch King of the Hill anymore, because there was this guy in there. Oh, wow.
What?
I guess this is going off the rails real quickly, huh? I don't know why I'm in this mood today, but I'm ready to go.
I got arrested in high school.
That's why I can't watch King of the Hill anymore.
Yeah, what?
So I'm in the common area of the cell area, and there's this guy pacing back and forth on the back wall with a really scary, quiet guy. And he's just chirping the whole time. This guy's just chirping, chirping, chirping. Very, very scary. Clearly, like, coming down off drugs kind of thing. And
you've got your back to the wall real tight.
And King of the Hill is on the TV in the corner. And this guy starts saying, and I repeat, over and over and over again, over, quote, Bobby, I'm going to bleep Peggy and the bleep bleep. And he said what? That probably 30 times.
Like in the Hank Hill voice or just in his voice?
In the Hank Hill voice.
Oh, that boy just ain't right.
Yeah.
And he said it loud and proud for about 30 minutes straight. And every time I think of King of the Hill, all I think is that dude.
Damn it, Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm such a better human being now, man. I'm way better.
And that's why I can't watch King of the Hill.
And that's why I can't watch King of the Hill.
Oh,
I'm just going to save that for like literally anything. Just And that's why I can't watch King of the Hill.
Oakley Doakley, we got a show for you today.
Did you hear that?
We'll continue our look ahead at NFL playoff teams, how they got here, what they're doing, and their future in this playoffs, along with the future of their organization.
I spent $100 in a bong and a bag, and that's why I can't watch King of the Hill.
You got it, baby. We'll get to the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers today. We'll also have a conversation about, is this team the best brand in the Final Four of college football? It is a free consultation Tuesday. We'll do that at 12:15. But when we come back, the Blazers shoot the lights out and take down a big dub last night. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM. 1020 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live in the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the text line, 503-864-6326. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. Also, shout out over to the YouTube cats, youtube.com/1051TheFan. My buddy Zach messages in on the YouTube. My kid goes to that elementary school now, and I laugh every time I come into the school. Everything about Patrick's life up to this point makes so much more sense now. And yes, I'm very comfortable with my job security. Also, it's Tuesday, therefore my boss is not here. Yes. Got him.
Ding, contracts ding, ding. Are a hell of a thing.
Got him.
They don't really exist.
And I definitely do need therapy, but I don't think it is for any of that stuff. I've moved on from those chapters in my life. Good times. Good times.
There you go.
I don't have to be the clock guy anymore, though. I don't want to be that. I was the clock guy for a while. Dude, are you the guy that stole that clock?
It's a clock, right?
Clock.
Yeah. Clock.
Clock.
What'd you think I said? The clog guy?
Nothing.
Just don't let me near a toilet, otherwise it's over.
Just clock.
Yeah, no, clog. Yeah. That's what we thought.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Glock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one too.
A Glock 9.
Nope, still not there, but it's okay.
Look at me pretending I know about guns.
Let's move on.
Let's rust.
I love how everybody thinks I was into the segment late because I was taking a dump.
Well, you do that normally.
No.
You do that frequently.
Look, no, I do not do it frequently. I do it at the same time anytime I need to go. Okay?
Well, anytime I need to go, I go as well.
Look, a little peek behind the curtain, though. We have a long break at the 11:54 break. Okay?
I love that he knows this.
Because we have the BetQL segment, the update,
it's an extra minute long break, and when you
start going to the tees, if I got to go, because it gives me about 6.5 minutes.
And you know I'm on the clock.
Yep.
And you know when we come back at noon, I have my little spiel. Yeah, it's built in.
Yeah, it's Look built in.
You, I do this for you, see? Danny. I do this for you.
But I also make it back in before we get on back on air almost every single time.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. 137,
117. Power of the large intestine.
137-117. The Blazers take down the Utah Jazz last night. I was excited to watch my guy, Walter Clayton Jr. I'd kind of forgotten about him.
Yeah,
like most players on the Jazz you forget about. It's just flashbacks to college players that I love.
Funny thing is, the Jazz didn't really play poorly last night. Like, they scored 117 points, and yeah, some of that was in garbage time, but
Blazer players just said, we ain't missing shots tonight, boys.
Which is funny, because in the first, 4 minutes, that's all they did. They started off 0-5 from three. Here's the thing. Last night, the Blazers generated 19 threes in the first quarter, and I was like, oh, sweet Moses. This is a lot of threes. We were on pace for 75 three-point attempts. They finished the night with 48, which is still up a high volume for sure. But the passing up good for great shots was at a premium last night.
And that's what we want to see from this offense. You're talking off-ball movement, guys looking for the right move. Because if you look at the box score...
Guys did not dwell on the ball.
No. Denny got his points. Mm-hmm. Shaden got his points. So if your shot's going down and you're getting your buckets, why not have everybody else come to the party?
Yeah.
You know, City and Caleb Love had good nights, too.
Yeah, had great
so
nights.
It's like everybody's here to party. Donovan Clingan, my favorite Blazer right now. What is it, 19 rebounds he have? 17 rebounds? Yeah. Dude, what's he been averaging over the last six games?
And him and Nurk were just absolutely... I'll tell you right now, Donovan looked like he was having some fun with Nurk.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of I'm whooping his butt. Because, look, man, Nurk will make you work. He is a
He
is a big, strong boy. And Nurk likes it when other guys want to bang with him.
I love that.
And Donovan likes that, too, because... A lot of times, especially when you're a big guy, sometimes you're stuck covering, Chet out of the three-point line. You're like, this is lame. I don't want to do this.
I'm tired, boss.
But Nurk and Donovan, you see kind of when you have, the fellow big man, you do, the wink and the nod of,
Hello.
You want to play underneath? Let's play underneath. All right. Let's do the thing that we don't always get to do. And they got tangled up a couple different times. One, they got tied up for a jump ball, and Nurk kind of threw Donovan. Donovan kind of ended up falling. And Nurk didn't do the thing where he steps over him. It was a respect thing, and he went to go pick him up. It was like, and Nurk's not going to do that for everybody.
No. I love it because it's a kid and a vet.
Yeah, but
you know, Nurk, the vet kind of like, let's go, kid.
Yeah, let's see what you got, young fella. And Nurk, you know, Nurk wasn't complaining when they got physical with each other, and Don wasn't complaining when Nurk got physical with him. Like, it was fun to see, because so much of physicality, especially even for bigs, has been legislated out of the league.
Right.
It's like, these are massive dudes. Like, they just want to bang down low.
And not just legislated, but it's also the modern athlete, mm-hmm. especially you bring in the Europeans. Like, Jokic doesn't really bang in the post a ton.
I mean,
he can.
Yeah.
He can, but he can also drain threes yes. all night. So, like, that's part of it. Yeah, to your point, that old school big man clash just doesn't happen a whole lot.
Yeah, Nurk had 21, 12, and 5.
Look at this. Utah shot 50% from the field, 42 from downtown, 82 from the free throw.
And 117 points.
And got boat raced. Yes. That's how good this team was last night. Shout out to Denny doing Denny things. Shaden was awesome last night.
Denny started off 1 of 7.
Clean it up.
And he finished the night 10 of 19.
Clean it up. And Shaden had another highlight.
How many?
I mean,
the lob from Roops.
Yep. And he got up probably taller than I am.
Oh, buddy.
I'm 5'6 3/4". He probably was in the air higher than me.
He was above the box.
You could tell, because when he came down, he fell down. Yeah. That's how high he was.
Yeah. That's steal.
How high I'm going to get tonight.
The steal, Shaden giving the ball up to Roops, and Roops throwing a perfectly just weighted moon ball lob. It just let him go get it. Those ones, when you put just the right amount, it's soccer. It's like when you put mm-hmm. the right amount of pace on the ball where it just does the thing where it just falls perfectly for somebody to hit a volley. It's like, that's the same thing with an alley-oop. When it's just inch perfect, how it's floated, or when you fire one, like Chris Paul and Andre Miller are the two best lob passers in the history of the game.
That's why he had Dunk City or Lob City.
Like, it is what it is. But the Blazers have gotten really good over the last, I don't want to say 6 weeks, 8 weeks, about throwing lobs.
Why not? You got Shaden Sharp, one of the most freakish athletes in all of basketball.
You just have a lot of guys who were athletic. Chris Murray had a lob last night. Don had a lob last night. Shaden had 4 or 5 last night. It was the first time all season. Yes, they beat the Warriors game 2, and they beat them soundly, but they just stunted on the Jazz last night.
Yeah.
That was the thing, is they capitalize on points off turnovers. I think it finished with 27 was the number. Points off turnovers. Yeah, 27. 27 points off turnovers. That's a big old number.
That's a big old number. And I'll tell you what, you know.
And the Jazz didn't turn the ball over like crazy. They had 15.
Some people mentioned this on the text line and the YouTube chats as well, of just kind of like, I don't know if it really changes the win-loss total, but it makes it fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Shaden is for most fans, is people get really amped about, because he does stuff like that, mm-hmm. and that's very pretty aesthetically.
It's tantalizing. You know,
it's like, it's the only reason I watch 1 vs. 16 seeds in the NCAA tournament, because with about 8 minutes to go, someone's throwing an alley-oop for a 1 seed who's mm-hmm. up by 30.
Yep.
Because you want to see that. It's fun. Why not? That's
why
the fun
I get
part
mad
of basketball.
When Shaden gets on a breakaway and just lays it up, it's like, no, absolutely not. Drew Holiday can do that. He's old. You are young. You're 23, 22 years old and spry.
And got hops
and you
for
got
days.
Bunnies for days. So when he caught back the windmill the other night, I was like, yes.
Thank you.
That's the thing.
Is Shaden ever going to do a dunk contest?
I think his feelings got hurt too much.
What?
So he was going to do it his rookie year.
I remember.
And what ended up happening was they kept him out of the rookie sophomore game.
Right.
And Shea was like, what?
I'm not just going to come here and dunk. Yeah. I want to play.
And they had a chance to fix it, and they didn't. And
he's going to hold that for his whole career?
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Dude, get ups, man. I want to see ups.
I mean, Ant ended up going and winning.
Yeah. Ant's like, great.
Like, Simons.
Oh, Simons. Yeah. I don't think Simons is great. Sorry.
But he ended up going and winning. Like,
yeah.
And it raised his profile.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Anthony or, Gordon.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon.
Gordon. In once he got to Denver, we were like, oh, this guy can actually play basketball. Because mm-hmm. in Orlando, he was just, that's the dude that dunks.
Yeah.
Same with Zach LaVine. Oh, that's the dude that dunks.
Yeah, but it also raised, there's part of it, like, you don't want to get known as just that guy. But it also, it's a way to raise your profile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing. Like, you don't have to be Mac McClung and be the sideshow.
No, you don't. And honestly, I don't want to be unless that's all you've got.
Yeah.
And that's all Matt McClung has.
Yes.
I mean, is he on a roster?
He's Orlando's G League team still,
G League,
I think.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, you got ups. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But if you can actually ball like Shaden, I want more ups. Mm-hmm. I want more ups. We'll keep an eye on the Blazers. Next game's what, Thursday?
Nope, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
They have a two-game series with the Rockets.
Ooh.
No Şengün. Şengün is going to be out for a week or two, so.
Let the Klingon show reign supreme.
Well, I mean, Steven Adams is still there.
Do you think he'll bang with Steven Adams?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I asked Donovan when I had him on the pod last year, at the end of the year, I was like, hey, man, what was the most like surprising thing that you saw this season? Doesn't have to be big. It can be anything. But like, what was the thing that just like caught you off guard? And he goes, how strong Steven Adams is.
Right. Always say he's the strongest in the league.
It's not close. He's the strongest player in the league. And he goes, I've never played against somebody that I couldn't move. He goes, no matter what I wanted to do or what I tried to do or like how I tried to move for him, I could not move him. That's what happens when you have 16 siblings.
You just understand. I think it's beaten into you.
He's the youngest, too.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, he's...
I assume he's the biggest.
Yeah, but he's got a couple sisters that...
He's an island boy, isn't he?
He's a Kiwi, yeah, New Zealander.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, Steven Adams is the strongest dude in the league. And it, honestly, it's a good matchup for him and not having to chase somebody around out there.
Sure.
That's when you get Donovan. Because that was the thing, is over the last month, Donovan really hasn't been optimized as a defender. Last night, you saw him operate as a paint protector because he's playing against Nurk.
And he's going to have to learn to become a better paint protector.
Yeah. Well, no, paint protector, he's good. It's the when he gets caught in the in-between, when he has to stretch out outside the paint and make those decisions.
He's a big guy.
He's 7'3", 290 pounds, man. It's a lot of ground to cover when you're that big.
It's a lot of body.
I want to give him credit, though, because he has been exceptional offensively. He went from finishing 60% of his shots at the rim last year. Over the last 3 weeks, he's at 78%.
Yeah.
I talked to one of the front office members last night about him, and he goes, and I was like, what do you think changed? Because his hands weren't that great last year. And He goes, I'd argue his hands have always been good. It's that he is slowing down. And talking to Tiago pregame, Tiago told me it was confidence. So it's a lot of things all coming together because it's not just him finishing at the rim. Mm-hmm. It's him knocking down threes. I mean, did you see the threes he took last night?
Yes, I did.
When he lets it go, it's arrogant.
Mm-hmm. It's got some swaggy on it.
Buddy of mine replied with, his shot has a, do you know who my dad is at the end of it? And I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. There's an arrogance that comes off at the end. I like it.
And that's why I can't watch King of the Hill.
There you go.
When we come back, what the media wants for the college football playoff. They don't care who's good. They don't care who's awesome. They just want what they want. What is the natty the media wants versus what it might actually be? We'll do that next. The Big Kahuna, Scott Sports.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Well, there's a lot to get to today in some football stuff. Spend a majority of our time on the NFL today. At the top of the nooner, we will get to Oregon, chat about brands in the college football playoff. Also, a free consultation Tuesday here, so get those in, 503-864-6326 or over on the YouTube chat. A little different from the brand conversation we'll have at the new and the Big Nooner, but the idea, you know, we talk a lot, Danny, about the Herbies of the world and the Feinbaums of the world and how there always feels like there's an agenda with college football, especially to the highest bidder. What do you think is the matchup of this Final Four, Indiana versus Oregon on Friday, Ole Miss and Miami on Thursday? If the media were able to choose what this game is based on eyeballs and ratings, what do you think they would choose?
Part of me thinks Oregon, Miami, just because you have the storylines, particularly with Cristobal. But Indiana's the story.
Right.
If you're talking eyeballs, Indiana, Ole Miss.
Because I was going to say Indiana, Miami.
I think the Lane Kiffin of it all, the Ole Miss stuff.
God, they would love that.
Yeah. I mean, it would. If you're talking about the drama of it all, look, for me, just a big middle finger to everyone, Indiana, Ole Miss is the game that I want. Because it means it takes out every blue blood. It takes out.
Sure.
It's like, no, if you want to do this, here you go.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like.
It would represent kind of the modern college football, too, in its best form, that two teams can kind of, quote-unquote, come out of nowhere. I forget about the Lane Kiffin angle. I'm definitely trying to remove that from my brain. I think the answer is Indiana, Miami, and I think it's because it's a little column A, column B. It's the story of Indiana with Mendoza, Cignetti, the nobody becomes somebody versus a team trying to get back on top that's maybe one of the more marketable brands in the history of college football. I mean, look, those Hurricane teams in the late 80s, early 90s, those Hurricane teams in the late 90s, early 2000s, that's our wheelhouse. You know, that's how we fall in love with college football. Throw up the U, Catholics versus convicts, etc., stuff like that. That's why I kind of think Miami, it represents the old blood versus the new blood in Indiana. Sure. I think disaster for them is probably Oregon Ole Miss.
Oh, God,
unfortunately.
Yes.
I think the media, and this isn't a slide on Oregon at all, I think the national media will always look, until Oregon wins a natty, the national media will always look at Oregon as Nike, uniforms,
the Phil little Knight, engine that could.
Yep. They're really good. They're always really good, but they'll never get there. Mm. And Ole Miss, I think, because of the same situation. Like, Ole Miss hasn't been good since Manning was there. Which Manning? Does it matter?
Well, no, I mean,
you know, and something stupid like that.
It goes back to Arch, or Archie.
Yeah.
Because they were fine.
They were fine with Eli.
But they weren't, like, the last time they were actually good was with Archie.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what it would be, which is weird, because I wonder what's the best game to you? Like, take this media, take brands
Miami
out
of Ole Miss.
Miami Ole Miss. Including what could be in the natty?
Oh, no. Like, I think you're talking about, like, the
I think
four.
I'm talking about the natty. Like, what's the best game?
It's Indiana-Miami.
Is it Indiana-Miami? Yeah.
Well, but the juice here would be Oregon.
Oh, right? Obviously. Well, yeah, but obviously. Like,
taking everything away, I think the yes. best game is mm-hmm. Indiana-Miami, because I think Indiana is the best team in the country. So, with that, you know, it's like, okay, put them in, and then who's better between Miami and Ole Miss?
Coming in on the YouTube chat a little bit, do you think ESPN really does want Ole Miss because it's SEC?
Yes.
Or do you think at this point they don't care?
No, they do. They do. I mean,
but does Ole Miss really represent the SEC the way it gets shoved down our throats?
Oh, they have to now.
They don't have a choice.
They don't have
They're
choice.
Against the eight ball.
Because look, if Ole Miss goes out there and Miami just smacks them around, that means the SEC just got smacked around.
Yeah. Like, if this team is Missouri
mm-hmm.
and it's not Ole Miss, mm-hmm. you think they back it still?
They have to.
They have to.
They're just kind of backed into a corner with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're like, well, they're not really one of us.
Which is weird, because this team, there's so much to like about this Ole Miss
team. They have one loss in the season. It was at Georgia in a tight game.
That Kirby did a masterful coaching performance. Yeah.
I've been saying this all year that Ole Miss is a lot better than people think they are.
You have. You've been on the Indiana Ole Miss train a lot longer. We were on the Miami train together until we both kind of took a pit stop there for a little bit.
Which is funny, because the Louisville game going into that week, I was like, they're going to lose this game to Louisville. And you're like,
nah, they're the best team in the country.
Yeah, there was just something. I was like, Carson Beck's going to do his thing here. That's what's going
to
happen.
I want to suck your blood.
Yeah, and it was, I want to throw the ball away. but yeah.
You get a pick. You get a pick. Yeah. You get a pick.
This game brought to you by Picks. But no, it's Ole Miss is a better team than I think that they're given credit for in general. And I think because they're kind of this offense first team and the veneer of the Lane Kiffin stuff and LSU and mm-hmm. how things have ended, it's like, did we not just watch one of the best quarterback displays we've ever seen?
If I had my way, like if I could reseed this for a second and change the mm-hmm. matchups, I actually think of the next three games, Ole Miss, Miami, Oregon, Indiana, and whatever the natty is,
mm-hmm.
I honestly think the best game is going to be Friday. I think Oregon, Indiana will be the best game.
Mm.
I think winner of that game wins a natty.
I'm not taking it away from Miami or Ole Miss.
I don't want to either. I don't want to either, and maybe I'm sniffing Oregon's farts too much.
I think you are.
But I really do think whoever comes out of Indiana, Oregon, albeit healthy in the key positions, I think they win the natty.
I mean,
and that's kind of why I wish that game was the national championship, a repeat game.
I don't want that. I don't want a Big Ten rematch for a title game. I don't want an SEC rematch for a title game. We've had those.
Fair.
We've had those. But that's why I'm glad the bracket worked out the way that it did.
That's how it's going to be. Oregon and Indiana take on each other in the Peach Bowl. That'll be right here Friday on the home of the Ducks, 105.1. The Fan pregame coverage starts at noon. Don't forget about that. And then Miami Ole Miss on Thursday. Nice little football Nice little football. Somebody made a huge leap in their career, did something nobody else has done, but he still hates his team. We'll go to Cleveland in the NFL next. 105.1 The Fan. Coming up in hour number deuce, we'll get to some more NFL. We're going to take our rodeo around the league and look at all the teams that made the playoffs, kind of how they got here, offseason acquisitions, trading, coach changes, or if they stayed the same, their experience, and how they look ahead. We'll get to the New England Patriots today, along with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But a little caveat from the final week of the NFL season that should not go unnoticed is one Myles Garrett. When you think of all the bad men on this planet, of people you just ain't going to F around and find out with, Myles Garrett's got to be near the top of that list for me. Just a very, very scary man who plays very violently. But I've really enjoyed watching him age, as he seems a very kind of fun guy. Like he laughs and smiles a lot. But it's also interesting.
For a sociopath.
For a sociopath. But it's also interesting to think about the fact that, boy, he looked like he was having a great time on Sunday when he openly calls out his franchise for being a dumpster fire and also takes a contract. But he's good. You know, I mean, why Cleveland still has him, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, from the other side of things, you know, there's the TJ Watts of the world, the Max Crosby's of the world. You know, TJ's not in the same situation because the Steelers are at least capable, but the Raiders suck.
Yeah.
And there's some talk that Crosby could be traded, which please God, no. But when you're looking at those guys, you keep them because look at Micah Parsons. Before he went down, how good was he for the Packers?
Great. Game changer.
How impactful was he?
Insanely.
Did he put them on a level where they were their defense was so good that they were a NFC championship or better defensive caliber unit?
Without a doubt, I would argue that the season he was having, if Myles Garrett didn't exist, he would be the defensive player of the year. Again.
Yes. So that's why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you just don't give those guys up. No matter how bad your team is, you just don't. When you have a perennial Hall of Famer.
Like a Joe Thomas. He's on Cleveland forever. They can't get a quarterback right, but boy, he was good on the left side.
What was the number he had? Was it 7 holding calls in his career?
Is that it?
Oh yeah. No, Joe, like,
whoa.
Like when
that's
you look,
a wild
you
know, stat if that's true.
Let me pull these up. They're the Joe Thomas had some insane stats. Here we go. Joe Thomas crazy stats. I know it's out there. So he had a career winning percentage of 29%, and yet he played in 10,363 consecutive snaps.
Wow.
So despite playing for a dog S team, this guy never stopped. He started every single one of his career 167 games. He did not miss a snap until I think he tore his tricep. I mean, it was just like, wait, what? Only allowed 30 sacks over 6,680 pass-blocking snaps.
To your point, those are guys that you just don't get rid of. And
when the numbers are that crazy, Myles Garrett just set the record for sacks.
23 sacks in a season.
And yes, extra game, all those kind of things, but we saw what he was doing. Like
he could have had this record like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. The
Do you think Joe went down for him?
Yeah.
Just gave it up.
I mean
all of Brett Favre style.
Not quite as bad as Brett.
One of the all time greatest petty moves of all time in any sport.
That one was egregious.
Is Brett Favre going down for Michael Strahan just because he hates Warren Sapp? That's one of the greatest petty sports things of all time. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, no.
That is a pettiness I am here for. I got no issue with Warren Sapp. I love Brett Favre as a player. Mm-hmm. Kind of a rough human being now, but I loved him as a player.
Well, I mean, who's the record that he broke that got all pissed off at Brett? I'm totally blanking on his name.
Hmm.
The pass rusher whose record Strahan broke.
Warren Sapp.
No. The all-time record. God dang it. Because he
Strahan has all-time sacks?
He did. Until TJ broke it. And then, obviously, now Miles. But before that, in 14 games, because, God, it was actually really sad to hear him say. He's like, you broke my heart, Brett. You broke my heart. Because that was like all he was living on.
You got Bruce Smith, number one at 200. Reggie White, number two at 198.
That's all time. I'm talking season sacks.
Oh, okay.
NFL sack leaders.
this year. Is great. Yeah. Radio.
Yeah. But no, it was, God, who?
Jared Allen?
No. It was
Reggie.
TJ Watt, Jared Allen, Mark Gastineau.
Gastineau. Thank
Lawrence
you.
Lawrence Tyler.
There's a clip of Gastineau, like, you could hear him, like, that's what his identity was built in, was being the all-time sack leader.
That sucks.
And
that's brutal.
Like, you hurt me, Brett. You hurt me. Like, you hear, like, the tears and the sadness in his voice. Like, oof.
Like, that's all I got.
Yeah.
It was like, that's rough.
Yeah, it's really tough to hear.
Well, you know what's really tough, Mark? You played for the Jets in the 80s. That's really tough.
But very similar to Myles Garrett.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, when you've got a guy that you know is going to Canton, you don't let him go.
Yeah.
You just don't.
I mean, we were here the day Micah got traded. That was a weird moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of like, really? You're going to trade that guy? I don't think that was a good idea.
For that hole?
I mean, the haul might have been worth it.
No.
But even if the haul is worth it, even if you do get true value for a Myles Garrett, doesn't necessarily mean it was a good move to move him.
It was Jerry.
I think
being
that's
Jerry.
What you're saying. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's Jerry being Jerry. I would if I were a team that's really trying to make a move, I'd kick the tires on Myles Garrett every single time.
Oh, you make the call.
Just to see if they're stupid.
You make the call.
Just to see if they do it.
I mean, that's how the Lakers got freaking Luka. You make the phone call. It wasn't Nico, you know, actually it was Nico that went to Raw, but like, you answer the phone. Because I tell you right now, the guy who's kicking himself the most in that is Danny Ainge when he found out he was facilitating Luka's trade to LA because he had been building for the last 2 years to be able to trade for that exact player.
Yeah. But the NBA is rigged though, man.
Mm.
The NBA is rigged. Don't you know?
What would the NFL look like if it was actually rigged? It's not the Chiefs and the penalties.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, what's a trade that would happen in the NFL where you're like, the NFL is rigged?
Joe Burrow for Dak Prescott and 2 firsts.
Mm. Yeah, that's not good enough.
Yep. Getting somebody in Dallas. That's it. Getting somebody in Dallas.
Is Dallas the only place?
I think so, because like, even when the Giants were great with Eli, win a couple Super Bowls with Eli. I mean, they were never great, but they won those 2 Super Bowls.
That's the thing is, like,
it wasn't like new. It's not like the Yankees, okay?
Yeah.
It's not like the Lakers.
But when was the last time the Giants, again, Eli's multiple Super Bowl winner, all those kind of things. But when was the last time they had a truly prolific superstar quarterback?
Joe Namath and the Jets.
Jets.
Nobody for Phil Simms, no. Hostetler, no.
No.
Not prolific.
That's what I mean. Like,
even Eli wasn't very prolific.
No, like, when was the last time they had a Mahomes, an Allen, a Burrow?
Never.
Lamar, like.
I mean, Phil Simms is a Hall of Famer.
Sure, but
so
I mean.
So is Eli.
But, like,
but I see what you mean.
Like the
upper echelon. No.
The je ne sais quoi of it all. You know what I mean? Like.
Kerry Collins.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Kurt Warner. But like, it's, yeah, it's. It. The NFL is so weird with that stuff. Like, in the NBA, literally anybody can be traded. In the NFL, wow. I don't think that's the case.
No. Mahomes is untouchable. Joe's untouchable.
Until a certain point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Bengals.
Look, Brady broke down with Belichick.
Yeah. Carson Palmer eventually left Cincinnati. There's just some teams that will never get it and are cheap and crappy organizations like the Bengals that would never get rid of a Joe Burrow because they fell into that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll never be able to attract that. You know, Joe Burrows don't grow on trees.
No, that's why teams sign Tuas.
Yeah.
That's why they sign Kylers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fear is much greater.
It's always the fear and never the anticipation.
Nope.
All right, we come back. Let's get into our NFL look around as we get to the NFL playoffs. Our two teams will take a peek at in hour number deuce. We'll start with the New England Patriots. First time for a lot of you guys. It's been a while. Welcome back. We'll go there next. 105.1 The Fan.